nice and loud.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem, amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, in this past week to 10 days that we've been reading, there have been a number of ayahs that have come over and over again, at least 3-4 times, repeating themselves over and over. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is repeating these because of their importance. He's, you know, warning us again and again that this is something important. Don't just pass over it once and go ahead and forget about it. And the common theme in all those ayahs is what is going to happen on the Day of Judgment, when people are going to be full of regret and remorse for what they've done. And so the first ayah he says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ ثُمَّ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا إِنَّا مِنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُلْتَقِمُونَ. That who can be more wrong, who can be more, you know, doing oppression to himself, than the person who my remembrance is made in front of him, he is reminded of my signs, and he turns away from my signs. Then he says, verily, I am one of those who will take revenge from the people who do wrong. If somebody does wrong, I will take revenge for them, you know, when the time comes. So Allah is saying that one of the worst things we can do is be reminded of Allah's signs and still be heedless of them. And he mentions many, many signs in the Quran. He mentions signs that some of them are close to us, you know, directly affecting us. Some of them are, you know, farther away. They're affected another nation, you know. But he keeps saying at the end of all of these stories about the other nations and, you know, different things that he describes in the Quran, he always says these are signs for the people who believe. These are signs for the people who have faith. These are signs for the people who have iman. These are the signs for people who have taqwa. You know, he keeps saying that these are signs. These are signs. Learn from these signs. Learn from these signs. So one of the signs he mentions in the beginning is, he says that doesn't human being see that I brought him out of the womb and he didn't know anything. I brought him out of his mother's womb in a state that he doesn't know anything. And then I taught him everything that he knows. Still, doesn't he realize like how powerless he is? Like, Allah is, of course Allah himself knows everything, but he's kind of expressing disbelief that how can somebody who is so small, so, you know, non-important in comparison to Allah, always be challenging Allah and always be, you know, saying, okay, I did this for you, now you do this for me, or you did this for me, that's why I will do something for you, or denying Allah's existence, like stuff that happened so many times now, or, you know, criticizing the way Allah does things. Allah is saying, like, you know, basically, for lack of better words, who do you think you are? You know, I created you and brought you out of the womb and you didn't know anything. You couldn't do anything. He says, you were at a point where you were so weak. Then I gave you strength. And then after your strength, I started to slowly take it away again and make you back to the weakness that you had in the beginning. As a sign to show you that your strength is not something that's, you know, permanent. It's something temporary. Only I am the one who is Al-Qawi Al-Mateen, you know, the one who is the most powerful, the most, you know, full of strength. So he's saying, how can you not understand this, O human being? How can you keep being in denial about who you really are? He says, think about what your start of your creation was. I created you from one drop of a dirty liquid, he says. And that's where your beginning is. So how can you be so proud of yourself? How can you be so boastful of yourself that you forget where you even started from? I'm Allah, the only one, none other is like me. You know, my throne encompasses the entire creation. You know, and I built the entire creation. And you look at your beginning and look at your end. Your end is back in the earth where you belong. From what the same place I created you from, the soil, and the end you're going to return to that soil. So how can you be so, you know, proud of yourself? Then some other signs that he tells us is he says, look at my creation. And look at the way that from one man and one woman, I made you into nations and different tribes of different colors. You know, everybody has a different, nobody looks exactly the same, except for twins or something. But most people, you know, they all have very unique. They have a unique color. And if you look at the languages that are in the world right now, there's so many languages in the world. We don't really, we're so used with that. Okay, I can speak and alhamdulillah, everybody here is understanding what I'm saying. And if you speak, I can understand what you're saying. And we don't really analyze what a great blessing this is. What is, I'm just making a bunch of sounds coming out of my mouth, but you're understanding exactly what I'm trying to explain to you through these sounds. And then if we look, we see so many different, you know, every part of the world has their own dialect, their own language. If these languages were not there, how would we be able to even communicate with one another? There would be no difference between us and, you know, stones and trees that can't talk to each other. And so Allah is saying, look, I created you from one pair, and from that one pair, all of these branched out, all the different races branched out, and all the different languages branched out. Then he says, do you not see inside yourselves? وَفِي أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ Do you not see even inside yourselves? Still till today, the most advanced, you know, technology cannot compare with our system that we have inside, our immune system, the way, you know, we can battle diseases in ourselves, the way, you know, if we get sick, we can heal ourselves, you know, you sometimes in good health, sometimes in bad health, we can, you know, fluctuate so much. And yes, sometimes the system is very fragile as well, but overall the system is so complex. And so, you know, how in one body, you know, you have the weak organs are protected by something on the outside that will shield them, like the rib cage, or, you know, the brain, which is the most, you know, vital organ, is surrounded by the skull, which protects it. And the design of the entire body, Allah is saying, don't you see that? That should be enough for you to understand that I'm really a great, you know, a master architect, and I did build all these things, and, you know, you haven't done anything. Then another verse, it says, إِنَّكَ لَن تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَلَن تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. He said, you didn't rip the earth, you know, like what happens in the situation of earthquakes, when in one instant the earth is just ripped apart. Allah is saying, I did that, and I'm the one who built the mountain to that height. Did you build the mountain like that? And he says, no. Then he says, then why are you walking with so much pride on this earth? And he says, no, that pride in a hadith Qudsi, he says, Al-Kibru Rida'i. He says that pride is my garment. Nobody else can, you know, wear this garment from me. So it's not fitting for anybody else to have this pride. That's why he says that when he's talking to Shaitan, when he's saying, why did you not bow down to Adam? He says, Astakbarta? He says, are you showing me pride? Do you think that you're full of pride about something, that you're not bowing down to him? What's preventing you from bowing down to him? Then Allah says that, does not a human being see that? He says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. That does he not see that I created him from a drop of nutfa, and after that, what is he? He becomes a great adversary for me. He challenges me. He says, خَصِيمٌ, somebody who argues with somebody, who challenges the authority of somebody. He says, I created you from that drop, and then you come and you try to challenge me. And, you know, show me your strength and your power and your wisdom and your intelligence, not knowing that all of it is a gift from me to you, and I can take it back at any instant, whenever I choose to do so. Then he mentions many times in the Quran, different ayahs, that when something bad happens, when human beings is in hardship, when human being is in a hardship, he remembers Allah and he says, oh Allah, please save me from this. I swear if you save me from this, then as soon as, you know, this calamity is over, I'm going to thank you, I'm going to be such a humble slave, I'm going to be such a good slave to you. And as soon as it's over, he says, this is my intelligence saved me, or my strength saved me, or even worse, he says, he actually uses it to his other gods, the false gods, that, oh, my gods that I believed in saved me, not Allah, Allah didn't do anything for me. How can you prove that it was Allah who did it? So he many times in وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ ضُرٌّ دَعَانَا وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ ضُرٌّ دَعَا رَبَّهُ مُنِيبًا إِلَيْهِ. So many different verses he keeps saying that, and he gives examples that sometimes you're in a ship and the ship is starting to sink, and then you remember Allah and you say, oh Allah, save me, and Allah does save you. Sometimes you're in bad health and you say, Allah, cure me, Allah cures you. And after the end, you turn around and say that, no Allah, it wasn't you. So this is the utmost, you know, one of the worst sins that we can do is to be, you know, ungrateful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, I created my servant so that he can know me. He said, the purpose of me creating you is that you know who I am, you understand who I am. In another verse, it says, the purpose of me creating you is that you worship me. But in a hadith, it says that, I created my servants so that they can know me. And in effect, when you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, means you know what yourself is. As one khatib said one Jummah, he said that, when we always say in the Surah Fatiha, we said, Maliki Yawm al-Din, O Allah, you're the King of the Day of Judgment. If He is the King, what does that make us? We cannot be a king like Allah. It means that we are the servants. So you have to always remember that that's our place. Our place, the highest place that we can reach is being a servant. And there's nothing disgraceful about that. When we say the kalima, we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. We say, we bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant first. First we say abduhu, then we say his rasuluhu. We say first, he is Allah's servant, then he is Allah's messenger. And Allah even says in another verse, he says, لَنْ يَسْتَنْكِفَ الْمَسِيحُ أَنْ يَكُونَ عَبْدًا لِلَّهِ وَلَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. It says that Isa alayhi salam, he's talking to the Christian at this point, saying that, you know, you should not say that Isa is the son of God, you should not say that there's three gods. He's saying, talking to the Ahl al-Kitab, he says, don't you know that even Isa alayhi salam, he doesn't feel ashamed of being my servant. Neither do all the great malaika, all the ones who are close to me, the four major malaika, they don't feel any shame in admitting that I am their Lord and they are my servants. Then how can you, who don't even have that position of Isa alayhi salam or the angels, feel that it's a shame for you to admit that you are a servant in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then he mentions all the different nations that came before us. He says that, you know, we had Ad, they were such a strong people. We had Thamud, they were so intelligent people. We had, you know, the nation of Saleh, that they asked me for a sign. I gave them the exact sign they wanted. What was the sign? They said, okay, Saleh, if you want us to believe in Allah, then what you have to do is you have to bring out a pregnant camel from the middle of the mountain, has to come out of the mountain, and the second it comes out of the mountain, it has to give birth to another camel right away. It's such a strange thing that, you know, it's impossible for that to happen. When does a mountain give birth to a camel that's ready to give birth to a baby camel? But Saleh alayhi salam said, oh Allah, this is what the people want. And Allah said, I'll give it to them. If really that would have affected anything, I would give them whatever they wanted. But I know, it's just an excuse. You're going to see, I'm going to give it to them. Not one of them is going to believe after that. And so it was. The camel came out of the mountain and gave birth to a baby camel, and not a single person from the nation believed in Salih alayhi salam or in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though they saw that with their own eyes. Rather, what they did, they went and they killed the camel. They said that this is, we'll show Allah, you know, He created the camel, we'll kill the camel. Then we'll show Him that, you know, we have some power too. So Allah says that, look at all the nations that came before you. Do you not travel in the earth and see the signs of the nations before you? Because we still have the ruins of many, many, you know, ancient civilizations that were destroyed suddenly, mysteriously. We still don't, we know that why they were destroyed, how they were destroyed, because Allah says so in the Quran. But other people don't know, and they say, oh, this was a Greek civilization, used to be here. You know, we're just finding out now, and we're digging up their artifacts, that they were around for so long, and they were so advanced technologically. And all of a sudden something happened and they all got wiped out. This is what Allah is saying. This, فَكُلًّا أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ. All of them, at one point or another, were taken, overtaken by their sins. We grabbed all of them because of their sins. Because some of them we destroyed with wind, some of them with flood, some of them like Harun, who was so proud of all his wealth, and, you know, he wasn't thanking Allah and not admitting that it was Allah who gave him that wealth. He was swallowed by the earth. You know, or the nation of Lut alayhi salam, that the earth was flipped upside down on top of them and they were crushed underneath it. He says, all of them, I grabbed them because of their sins. So do you not travel in the world and see those signs? And don't you think that, you know, what's making you immune from that? This is another place. He says that nobody is immune from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can come at any day. He says the only people who are immune are those who are ignorant. And what the Mufassirin say, the translation of that ayah is only those people feel immune from Allah's punishment who are ignorant, who don't realize that, you know, there's nothing different between our nation and the nations who came before us, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on the day of judgment, you know, people are going to come, and He mentions at least four or five different places. He says one person will be resurrected on the day of judgment. And he's going to say, oh my Lord, why did you resurrect me blind? You said that, you know, you're going to resurrect us the way we were in this life. He said, why are you going to, لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا? Why are you resurrecting me blind when I used to have eyes, I used to have sight? He says, because my signs came to you and you forgot about them. So likewise, this day you're going to be forgotten. And that's the worst thing that can happen to any person. And on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I don't want to look at you, I don't want to speak to you, I don't want to have anything to do with you. That day when 90% of His mercy is going to be on display, the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah is going to show so much mercy on the Day of Judgment, even shaitan is going to have hope that maybe Allah is going to forgive him too. You know, on that day when Allah, when shaitan is even feeling that way, and Allah says to a person that, I don't want to even look at you, you're not even going to smell paradise, you're not even going to come close to it, what a bad feeling that must be for anyone. You know, He says, do it now while you have the chance, before the day comes, and you say, oh Lord, let me go back for just 1 minute. 1 minute and I will change everything. And Allah is going to say, you had your entire lifetime, which was full of moments, opportunity for you to turn back to me, but you did not. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, He doesn't want us to only think about the punishments that He has. And so He says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, نَبِّئْ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ, that tell my servants that I am the most forgiving, the most merciful, but at the same time my punishment is also very painful. So He says, don't only remember one aspect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, you know, character, that only His mercy and only His punishment. After talking about the punishment, He says, but know that I am still the most merciful, but my punishment is still painful if it happens to befall you. Then another verse, He says, the one that we just read tonight actually, He says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He says, oh my servant who has wronged himself, never lose faith in Allah's mercy, because Allah forgives all sins, everything. He says, I can forgive everything that I want to. So never be afraid of my mercy, never lose hope in my mercy. And there's a hadith of Qudsi that we read a few days ago, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O son of Adam, if you came to me with disguise, with your sins reaching up to the sky, even still I would be ready to meet you with forgiveness reaching up to the sky. So there's no limit that, you know, all my sins have passed too far, that I'm out of the reach of Allah's mercy. He says, no, you're never out of the reach of my mercy. And He says, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, my mercy encompasses everything. It reaches out to everything. So we always remember that at the same time. And I just wanted to share one story about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also from the hadith of Qudsi, that on the Day of Judgment, the last person to leave hellfire, Allah is going to say, okay, you can leave the hellfire now, and He's going to take him out of the hellfire. And he's going to be right outside the hellfire. And he's going to turn around and look at the hellfire and say, Alhamdulillah, you saved me from you now, I'm safe from you. He's going to be so happy that Allah has removed him from there. And he's going to stay there for a while, and he's going to be quiet, and Allah's not going to say anything to him, and he's not going to say anything to Allah. Then he's going to say, oh Allah, you know, thank you for taking me out of hellfire, but the smell is still getting to me, the smoke is still coming to me, I'm still feeling its heat. Can you move me? There's going to be a spot between paradise and hellfire. There's going to be a tree there. He's going to say, can you just let me stand at that tree over there? So at least I'm in the shade of that tree, and you know, I'm not getting the heat from hellfire. And Allah's going to say, okay, I will give you that, but you have to promise me that you're not going to ask me for anything else. If you promise me that, I'll do it for you. And the man says, for sure, Ya Allah, I swear by your honor, your izzat, you know, I will never ask you for anything else. Just please let me stand at that tree. So Allah is going to take him, and He's going to put him by that tree. And the man is going to stand by the tree, and he's going to be quiet for a while, he's not going to say anything. He's going to say, oh Allah, you know, the gate of heaven is right there. You don't need to put me inside, just let me go stand by the gate so I can at least, you know, see what's going on in there, you know, and examine what's going on, see what everybody else is doing. So Allah is going to say, didn't you promise me that you're not going to ask me anything if I granted you, you know, coming to the tree? He said, yes I did, Ya Allah, but this time I'm being sincere, I'm being honest. If you let me go to the gate, I'll never ask you for anything else. This is the last request, final request. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say, okay, I'll do it, but you have to promise to not ask me anything else. Yes, for sure. He puts him by the gate of paradise. So he stands by the gate of paradise, and he's looking inside and looking at everybody else. And he says, oh Allah, don't make me so mahroom. Don't make me so, you know, such an unfortunate person that I can come to the gate of paradise and you're not going to let me enter. This is so sad, you know, so shameful. please let me just enter right inside the door. And Allah said, didn't you act on? At this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to start laughing. He's going to laugh and say, oh son of man, didn't you ask me, didn't you promise me that you're not going to ask me for anything else? I already twice, you promised me. This is the third time you break me from. He's going to say, yes Allah, but you're Allah, you know, you can do it if you want to. You can forgive me and put me inside. Please, do it. So Allah's going to say, okay, enter paradise. He's going to say, what do you want? Ask whatever you want and I'll give it to you. And the man is going to have a long list. He's going to say, okay, now that I'm inside, I want this and this and this and this and this. And he's going to keep going. And then Allah's going to say, is that it? He's going to say, yeah, I think that's enough. Then Allah's going to say, no, I think there's more. Don't you also want this and this and this? And he's going to mention a whole lot of other things. And the man is going to say, you're right. Yeah, I want those too. So Allah's going to say, okay, you can have that and 10 times that, all for you. And they say that the kingdom of this last man to enter paradise is going to be 10 times the size of the entire world and everything it contains. And this is who? The last person to enter paradise. So we can imagine if someone is not the last, rather they're one of the first people to enter paradise, what they're going to have. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing His mercy that even the last person, you know, He's taking him from step to step, bringing him into paradise. And then in paradise again, He's saying, is that all you want? No, you want more? I think you want more. He's giving him 10 times everything that he wanted. So when we hear these stories, you know, the Prophet ﷺ, when he heard this story, he was very happy afterwards. When he related this hadith Qudsi to the rest of the Sahaba, he also, when he says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started laughing at the human being, he also started laughing and said that this is the human being for you. In another hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows He created us. He knows that it's in our nature to never be satisfied and to always be looking for more and, you know, hoping for more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, لَوْ أَنَّ لِإِبْنِ آدَمَ وَادِيًا مِنْ ذَهَبٍ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ وَادِيًا. He says that if the son of Adam had an entire valley full of gold, the entire valley full of gold, he still wouldn't be happy. He would say, I wish I had two of them. And he says, nothing is going to fill this mouth of son of Adam except for turab. وَلَنْ يَمْلَ أَفَاهُ إِلَّا turab. Nothing except the dirt of the grave. Once he goes in the grave, that's the only point where he's full now, because he can't ask for anything else, he's dead. But until that time, Allah knows that he's going to keep asking for things. And then Allah ends the hadith and says, وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابَ. But Allah will always turn back and with mercy to those who turn towards Him with repentance. So these are the lessons that the Prophet ﷺ taught us in the hadith of Qudsi, and that Allah is telling us over and over and over again in the Quran that, you know, I'm showing you my signs in the earth, in the skies, in the universe, in the mountains, in the rivers, everywhere, all around you are my signs. You cannot ponder Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we can ponder on His signs. He always says, do they not look at all my creation and take lessons from that? أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. You know, he keeps saying, do you not understand? Do you not see? Do you not? So he's giving us the opportunity now, while we're still alive, to inshallah ponder and understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and subsequently our small place in His eyes. But you know, though we have a small place, we have to still remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that nothing in my universe can contain me except for the heart of the believer. So yes, we do have a small place, we are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we're still His favorite servants. So we should not, you know, lose sight of that, and we should not, you know, forget about that and you know, lose our high ranking because of that. We're still the most beloved creation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're from the nation of His most beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we should always give thanks so Allah can increase our blessings, and at the same time, you know, repent towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hope for His mercy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always give us the opportunity to ponder more and to understand more with His greatness. Jazakallah khairan.